Good morning and welcome, everyone. Wonderful to see so many people here, and a welcome to all of you at home as well. I pray that the Lord will be with all of us as we worship and praise Him this morning. It's a special morning this morning. We're installing new office bearers, new elders and deacons, and we're also thankful for those who have served faithfully for the last number of years. It's also good to remember who we are. And that's what elders and deacons do. And that's what the focus of the service will be as well. As we look at crossing the Jordan River, we'll be looking at the story of Joshua and the people of Israel. They knew who they were, but they kind of went through different stages in their relationship with God. And that's what we do as well. And that's what the reflection will be. We know who we are. We're followers of Jesus. We're people who love each other, who love others. We're also a people who serve. That's part of our identity as well. And because of who we serve, Jesus, who we follow, because of His love and the love that pours through us, we also love telling the stories of Jesus, sharing who Jesus is with others as well. So if you are not a member of a Bethel Church, and you are watching or you are here, and you would like to know more about who we are, you can find us on a website, on Facebook, or you can find my number there, and you can always give a call. Study has moved to Wolf Creek Community Church just down the road. And just a couple of things, because this is our last Sunday worshiping in this space for a few months as the building gets renovated, if you are a reader and love reading, grab some books today, because we may not have access to this building for quite a while. And if there is anything in your mail slots or anything else, I encourage you as well to take them all, because yeah, otherwise Dana's going to have to come, and hi, Dana. She's going to have to figure out, what do I do with all this stuff? And yeah, and I know that there are cards for some of you in there. We kind of took a quick glance. There are notes and things like that, so please check all that. Just kind of some housekeeping business. And now we enter into a time of worship. Worship. Where we say to God, You're everything. You are everything to us. And we are so glad we can be with You. And we can take this time to just concentrate completely on You. So let's start with prayer. Dear God, as we worship You this morning, we ask that You silence all voices within our minds but Your own. Help us to seek and to be able to follow Your will. May our prayers be joined with those of our sisters and brothers in the faith throughout the world, that together we may glorify Your name and enjoy Your fellowship forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand for a call to worship. We tend to just kind of sound better when we stand. It's all this physical stuff. So our call to worship is based on Joshua 3 and Psalm 107. So come, God is leading us home.
Our wandering is over at last.
Come, God is leading us home.
Home to a safe and prosperous place.
Come, God is leading us home. Come, God is leading us home.
Our lives have meaning and joy.
Come, God is leading us home.
Our souls find rest at last.
Come, let us enter the land that God has prepared for us.
God leads the way and makes our footsteps sure.
Our days of wandering in the barren desert are at an end. Hungry and thirsty, we cry out in deep despair.
God leads the way and makes our footsteps sure.
As in the waters of our baptism, we cross the Jordan.
God leads the way and makes our footsteps
The land is fertile and rich, with good rain in season.
God leads the way and makes our footsteps sure.
The harvest is bountiful.
We dwell in the land God has prepared for us.
And God cares so much for us, so much that He calls us His children. He has adopted us as His children. And that's why on Sunday morning we come to his house and he says, "Children, it is so wonderful that you've come home for a bit." And he greets us with these words from Scripture. "May grace, may mercy, and may peace be yours today and always from God our Father and Jesus the Christ, through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, now and always. Amen." And as God's greeted us, I invite you to turn around, give some thumbs up, say hi. Don't shake hands. Hi to everybody. Comes from Wren Collective. They got this, well, they're an Irish band, and I just love Irish music. But this is also a song that was chosen by the Church Renewal to kind of represent who God is calling us to be. So build your kingdom here, let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire, win this nation back, change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here, we pray. Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray, unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. And we need your power in us. We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. To see the captive hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church, and we pray revive this earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. We are God's presence here, and the darkness fears the church because we are God's people, and God's Spirit dwells in us, and nothing makes the darkness, nothing makes Satan fear anything more than God's presence. And that is something that we sometimes forget as we walk through our weeks. That as we walk through our week, wherever we are, God is there with us. And we are God's representatives, and Satan fears that. But we need leaders. We need people to guide us, to lead us, to give us counsel, to walk with us through the celebrations of life, but also through the difficulties of life. People who ask God to open their eyes, their ears, and their hearts so that they may lead us where God is leading us and guide us in who God is calling us to be. So this morning we are installing elders and deacons. For the opening part, I'll just invite you to sit where you are. At a point, I will ask you to come forward, and then I ask you to do practice distancing here as well. One of the things I regret about this distancing is that we will be unable to lay hands physically on you, but we will lay hands in prayer over you. So today we will be asking new leaders to commit to Bethel and to the Christian Reformed Church of North America. They'll be asked to subscribe to doctrinal teachings that they may have questions about, but in these differences, they promise to not create diversity or contradict our creeds and confessions. We have We have creeds and confessions that guide us and that give us an identity as Reformed Christians here in the world. So, Congregation of Jesus Christ, today we celebrate God's gift of faithful leadership for His people. We joyfully thank Him for elders and deacons who have served well and completed their terms of office. So, Peter, Herman, Rod, and Pete, thank you. This is my first, I have been here just over a year now, about close on a year and a half. You were my first council to work with. And you have been a huge blessing, along with the whole council, in helping me to become part of Bethel family. So I am going to miss you, but also looking forward to those who are coming in. So we thank you for your faithful service, and we praise them also for providing for your successors. In the office bearers of the church, we see the love of Christ for His people. As the Lord of the church, He appoints leaders to govern in His name and to promote the spiritual well-being of His people. By His Spirit, He equips these leaders so that believers may grow in faith, develop disciplined Christian living, serve others in selfless love, and share with all the good news of salvation. The Apostle Paul stated this most clearly when he wrote to the church, "So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the teachers, the pastors and teachers to equip His people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." And Jesus taught us the true spirit of leadership when He said, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." Just take a moment and reflect. Leaders. Paul uses the word slave. Now, you're not to be a slave to the people of Bethel Church, but you're to be a slave to Christ. And in Christ, you serve as servants. Elders serve by exercising oversight of the church in Christ's name. The Apostle Paul told the elders at Ephesus, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which He bought with His own blood." Elders must provide for the true preaching of the word, instruction for faith formation for both youth and adults, regular celebration of the sacraments, and faithful counsel and discipline while keeping in confidence those matters entrusted to them. And they must promote fellowship and hospitality among believers, ensure good order in the church, and stimulate witness to all people. Deacons serve by leading and equipping the church to minister to its members and the world in a rich diversity of ministries, awakening compassion, demonstrating mercy, seeking justice, and collaborating with God's Spirit for the transformation of persons and communities. In imitation of Christ's mercy, deacons teach us to love God, our neighbors, and the creation with acts of generous sharing, joyful hospitality, thoughtful care, and wise stewardship of all of God's gifts. Deacons offer holistic responses that respect the dignity of all people, working to change exploitative structures and systems, equipping the church for ministries of reconciliation and peacemaking, and seeking opportunities for advocacy. To help them accomplish these tasks, deacons are to identify and develop gifts in both the church and community. By adding to all this words of encouragement and hope, deacons demonstrate in word and deed the care of the Lord Himself. The deacons and elders, together with the ministers, are responsible for the general administration of the church. These tasks of elders and deacons call for believers who are Christ-like, who are mature in the faith and who exercise their offices with prayer, patience, and humility. I would like to invite those who are who have been called for as elder and deacon to please come forward. For youth elder Jan Rodenberg, for elder Wayne Bowman, Marvin Evans, and Craig Van Stralen, and those appointed to the office of deacon are Darren Frukenhill and Grant Sudoff. So if you can make your way to the front and just... Yeah. And I'm going to ask you to do something rather odd afterwards, is when you go back to your seats, to kind of go down through and then around. So we're trying to keep flow one way. I know it's odd, but we are adjusting to a new reality. So you'll be making vows. Vows to God, vows in some ways to each other, and vows to the congregation. And the Bible teaches us to be very careful with vows. And because these are our commitments, these are promises that we make to God, to our congregation, and to each other. But promises that our heart, that our life promises. So today we intend to ordain elders and deacons and to install them for terms of service in this congregation. Those appointed to the office of elder, to youth elder, Jan Rodenberg, for elder, Wayne Bauman, Marvin Evans, and Craig Van Stralen. I have trouble with names, I'm sorry. And those appointed to the office of deacon are Darren Frugenhill and Grant Zudoff. To express your acceptance of these offices, here in the presence of God and His church, you are asked to answer the following questions. Do you believe that in the call of this congregation, God Himself is calling you to these holy offices? And I don't use the word holy, and the church doesn't use the word holy lightly. These are serious offices, weighty offices that you are called to. Do you believe that the Old and New Testaments are the Word of God and the only infallible rule of faith and life? Do you subscribe to the doctrinal standards of this church, rejecting all teaching which contradicts them? Do you promise to do the work of your offices faithfully, in a way worthy of your calling and in submission to the government and discipline of the church? Jan, what is your answer?
I do.
Wayne, what is your answer?
I do. God help
me. Marvin, what is your answer?
I do. God help me.
Craig, what is your answer?
I do. God help me.
Darren, how do you answer?
I do. God help me.
And Grant, what is your answer?
I do. God help me.
This is now when you are ordained. So God, our Heavenly Father, who has called you to these sacred offices, may He guide you by His Word, may He equip you with His Spirit, and so prosper your ministries that His church may increase and His name be praised. And the congregation says, Amen. I shall offer you charges. These are the heart of your calling. So to the elders, I charge you elders as shepherds of the flock to hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught so that you can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. This means you got to know the word. You know, may the word, as you study it, sink deep inside your hearts and souls to shape you and give you wisdom. Be a friend and Christ-like example to children. Our children need to know that you see them, that you love them, and that you are interested and concerned about who they are becoming. But they need a cheerleader, and that's who you are. Give clear and cheerful guidance to young people. Be in their lives. Be mentors. By word and example, bear up God's people in their pain and weakness. Unfortunately, that will often be the most often you'll be called as an elder, is in times when it's difficult. But again, this is where, as you let the word shape you and form you, you'll be equipped to do so. But also celebrate their joys. We need to celebrate with each other. That's what I love about what's happening this afternoon with the shower. Hold and trust all sensitive matters confided to you. Encourage the aged to persevere in God's promises. As you get older, life can be difficult. It can be lonely. You know, you can be such an encouragement and blessing to them. And you keep pointing their eyes to Jesus. Be wise counselors who support and strengthen the pastor. You have no idea how much I need you, how much I depend on you. And I covet your prayers and your encouragement, but also your guidance and your critiques. Be compassionate, yet firm and consistent in rebuke and discipline. Sometimes you have to say to people, you've done wrong, and God's not happy. But then you have to commit as well to walking with them, into coming closer once again to God. Know the scriptures which are useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Pray continually for the church. Remember at all times that if you would truly give spiritual leadership in the household of faith, you must be completely mastered by your Lord. Deacons, charge you deacons to inspire faithful ministries of service to one another. We need to serve each other. And there's lots of service that is needed. And I pray that God will give you eyes to see and hearts to care and ears to hear. But also to the larger community, we are never meant to just serve ourselves. We're always meant to be a people where God is flowing in us and through us into the community around us and into the world. You know, be connected with World Renew and what's going on in the world. Remind us that the Lord requires us to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. So teach us to be merciful and to seize new opportunities to worship God with offerings of wealth, time, and ability. Too often deacons have been told to focus on the money, but our time and our abilities are huge gifts that God gives us to share as well. Realize that benevolence is a quality of our life in Christ and not just about financial assistance. There are those who are poor socially, emotionally, spiritually. Again, God calls you to walk with them. Therefore, minister to rich and poor alike, both within and outside the church. Weigh our opportunities for giving and service and use the church's resources discerningly. Well, that's quite the task right there, saying who are we going to walk alongside and who can't we at this time? And I pray for wisdom for you. Be compassionate to those in need and treat them with dignity and respect. They're all created in the image of God. Hold and trust all sensitive matters confided to you. Encourage with words that create hope in hearts and with deeds that bring joy into lives. But also be prophetic critics of the waste, injustice, and selfishness in our society. And be sensitive counselors to the victims of such evils. You gotta point out to us where our society is just so messed up, and then call us to stand in that breach as people of Christ, to stand for justice and mercy and grace. And let your lives be above reproach. Live as examples of Christ Jesus. Look to the interests of others. And in all your ministries, help us participate in the renewing of all things, even as we anticipate its completion when God's kingdom comes. In many ways, your work is building a community of shalom, giving us a glimpse of what God's kingdom is all about. in how we live in our day-to-day lives. Now, congregation, you have a charge as well. I charge you, people of God, to receive these office bearers as Christ's gift to the church. It's easy to accept them as gifts when they're making you feel good and they're telling you about God's love and everything else, but you also have to see them as a gift when they're telling you that, you know, you may be selfish. You may be focusing on yourself. You may be drifting from God. And as they call you back to God, you know, see them as God's gift. Recognize in them the Lord's provision for healthy congregational life. Hold them in honor. Don't put them on pedestals, but respect them. God has put them in this position. Take their counsel seriously. Respond to them with obedience and respect. And accept their help with thanks. They put in many, many, many hours on their knees and in their hearts for you, for God. Give them thanks. Wholeheartedly participate in the ministries in which they lead you. Don't let them do it alone. Sustain them in prayer and encourage them with your support, especially when they feel the burden of their office. Pray. Pray for them as they pray for you. And acknowledge them as the Lord's servants among you. So I am going to ask you, congregation, do you pledge to receive them as you have been charged? Congregation, what is your answer?
We do, God helping us.
Let's pray. And as we pray, I invite you as a congregation to lift your hands over these new elders and deacons. So our merciful Father in heaven, we thank you that you have provided faithful and gifted people to serve us as elders and deacons. As these new office bearers assume their responsibilities, fill them with your Spirit, endow them with your wisdom, and grant them strength. Make them faithful workers in your vineyard. Under their guidance, may your church grow in every spiritual grace, in faith which is open and unashamed, and in the committed service that promotes your reign in the world. Help them to perform their duties with enthusiasm and humility. And in their work, grant them a sense of sustained awe that is rooted in daily adoration of you, their Lord. Through them, may your name be honored and your church be served. Help us, your people, to accept them gladly, encourage them always, and respect them for the sake of your precious Son, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may rejoin your families at this time. I do encourage, yep, kind of down and around.
Lead me, guide me along the way.
For if you lead me, I cannot stray.
Lord, let me walk each day with you.
Lead me my whole life through.
I am weak. I need your strength and power.
To endure with grace my weakest hour.
Help me through the darkness your face to see.
Lead me, O Lord, lead me.
Help me walk in the paths of righteousness.
Be my aid when Satan and sin oppress.
I am trusting you, whate'er may be.
Lead me, O Lord, lead me.
I am lost if you take your hand from me.
I am blind without your light to see.
Lord, forever may I your servant be.
Lead me, O Lord, lead me.
Those are words for both elders and deacons, but for all of us as well. We seek the Lord to lead us and guide us. We have an opportunity to come to the Lord in prayer. Now, we've asked the Lord to be with us and with the elders and deacons. We've made promises back and forth. We continue that dialogue that we have with God in prayer. That's one of the wonderful things about worship is it's a conversation with God. We have some beautiful news for you. Jordan and Amy had a beautiful baby girl. It's going to be in the hospital. They need to do tests on the baby, an MRI tomorrow yet. There's some health concerns and issues. Life is a beautiful blessing, a beautiful gift. But this is a gift that comes with a little bit of worry, and we will place the family, all of you, in our hands, in God's hands, as we make this journey. And then at the same time, Hilda had a minor stroke and is in Red Deer Hospital right now. She hopefully will be home in a few days, but again, to keep her in our thoughts and prayers. And then our bulletin as well has many to keep in mind, to pray about regularly as well. So let's come to our Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray, hallowed be your name. Lord, I thank you for these elders and deacons who've been installed. Lord, they hallow your name. They take you serious. And that's why they've been recognized for their gifts. Leadership is not always so much about skills. Especially in the church, it's much more about relationship with you. So I thank you for each of the elders and deacons who've been installed, and for those who have served faithfully their term of office. I thank you for their skills, but I especially thank you for the example of their relationship to you. So Lord, be with them. Guide them as they hallow your name in their leadership and in their service, as they make you even more holy in our lives by continually pointing out to us who you are and who you're calling us to be. That's why we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done in heaven and on earth. Lord, we look to them for leadership. We look to them to learn how to do your will here on earth, how to be your people. So, Lord, may we follow them with joy and with thanksgiving. May we listen to them with respect and honor as leaders that you have put in place here. Lord, we give thanks for so many other things as well. We give thanks for new life. We give thanks for this beautiful baby girl that has been given to Jordan and Amy. Thank you for grandparents, Craig and Marcella, and I don't know the name of Amy's parents, but Lord, we pray that you will bless them as parents and grandparents, as a broader family, that they may lead this little girl to know you and love you deeply and wonderfully. That she may know how much you love her and how precious you are. She is in your sight. Lord, we thank you that Hilda is safe and that she has come through this stroke and that she is in good hands and good medical care. Lord, these are sometimes frightening times when we walk through health issues. And it seems strange sometimes to give thanks. But Lord, we're in a country, we're in an area where you have blessed us with an amazing health system, where we are able to receive the benefits of the wisdom and gifts from others who are gifted in healing and in caring. And Lord, there are many who need healing, who are seeking healing. There are many who are sick physically, some who are struggling emotionally or spiritually. There are those who are wrestling with poverty and with fear because their life situation may not be safe or healthy. Lord, there are many needs, many things in our community, even within our church. And Lord, we take a moment and Lord, we thank you that we can come to you and we can bring our concerns, our hopes, our fears, our desires for healing. Lord, we bring them to you in a moment of silence. And Lord, use us to be part of your presence in their lives, part of the healing that they may be seeking, part of the safety, or part of the daily bread that they may be needing. Lord, pray that you will use us to be a blessing. Lord, we confess that we have not always followed you as we should. There are times we have done things we know we shouldn't have. There are times we haven't done things that you have provided opportunities to be a blessing, and we have said, no, we don't have time, or we're not interested, or maybe we just blinded ourselves to it. So, Lord, we take a moment now to confess our sins, to confess those failings that we had this week, failings to love you and to love our neighbor. Lord, help us to be a people known for forgiving, known for seeking reconciliation, because that's who you are, and that's who you call us to be. And Lord, we ask for your Spirit to guide us and to be with us. Be with the schools and families preparing for the beginning of the new school year. Lord, in a different time, they have so many other extra things that they have to think about and to prepare for. We pray for LCS and Cash and King's University, especially that you will be with the faculty and staff and the families as they begin this new school year. We pray for all the churches in our community who are preparing for the upcoming church year. And I pray for all the leaders of all the ministries in Bethel Church that as they prepare, you will give them wisdom in knowing when to start and how to start. And Lord, there are so many questions and the normal things we would do that you would give us wisdom in how to step forward. And we pray for our missionaries who have also been impacted by this time as they learn new ways of doing ministry. And Lord, some of them are in places where it's not always safe, and we pray for your protection. But Lord, we also pray that through this time, that they may be your light, that they may shine the light of Christ into the communities where you've called them. And Lord, for those who have not yet accepted Jesus as a complete Lord of their lives, we ask you to use us to help them know your grace and love. Help us to journey with them to a place where they can accept you, your Son, as their Lord and Savior of their life. Lord, that's why you've placed us here. It's one of the main callings of being your church, is to lead others to be disciples of you. And Lord, as we walk through our days, Lord, help us to know that we are your children. Help us to rest in the strength and the hope and the peace that comes from being your children. Lord, use us. Use us in ways that bring honor and glory to your name. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. This morning we're looking at Joshua. How many of you know who Joshua is? Well, I see some hands. I see some people too embarrassed to lift up hands. I don't see any adult hands lifted up. Well, Joshua is a pretty cool guy. He was a guy who trusted God no matter what. You know, when everybody else was... See, God sent all these spies into Israel, into this promised land. It wasn't even called Israel yet. To kind of check it out. And Joshua and Caleb were two guys, along with 10 others, who went into the promised land to check it out. And they came back with a report. Do you remember what Joshua and Caleb said about this promised land? Anybody? Barry? Good? That's right. This is a really special land, flowing with milk and honey. I can tell you're a farmer's daughter. You know, that you got the milk part right away. But it's true. This is a really special land. But the other 10 spies said, oh, you know what? They're way too powerful. They're way too big. So God said, you know what? You don't want to trust me? You don't want to trust me as your God? Tell you what, you're going to wander around for 40 years. But now they're at the end. And Joshua and Caleb are still there, but the other 10 spies, well, yeah, they died in those 40 years. But they're going to cross the Jordan River. They keep changing what side this is on. So what's this? Do you know what this is? Anyway, it's a baptismal font. I heard it in there. What do we do with this? Do you know? Anybody remember coming up here and having something happen to you? Well, you don't remember, eh? Most of us don't, because most of us were babies. But normally this is filled with water then. And we'll bring children or we'll bring adults up here and we'll make some promises. We'll make some promises to God and we'll make some promises to the church and the church will make promises to us to help our children know God. And then we pour water over them. Do you know why we pour water on babies or on people who are being baptized? Any idea where that idea comes from? Any thoughts? Well, see, water is cool. It's refreshing. It cleans us. And in baptism, it reminds us of who we belong to, that we belong to Jesus. And part of the pictures that we use is like going through water. How many of you know the story of the Red Sea? Oh, the adults are getting it. They're sticking their hands up. See, I know at home you can't always see, but we got a lot of shy adults here. And the kids stick up their hands pretty quick, but the adults not so much. But yeah, the Red Sea. What did they do with the Red Sea? What happened at the Red Sea? They went right through the middle of it on dry ground. But what happened was they were slaves on one side of the Red Sea, but when they got on the other side of the Red Sea, they were free. Because God had made them free. And that was, they were God's people as slaves, but now they're God's people as free. But they're free. And they're God's people. And everybody could see that. But now they're getting into the Jordan River. So what's going to happen at the Jordan River? Do you know the story? It's kind of the same thing as with the Red Sea. It gets parted. They get to walk across the Jordan River on dry ground. They don't get any muddy. My grandson and I were at August Place, and it had just been raining, and we walked through mud, and my grandson loved it and everything else, but when they walked through the Jordan River, there was no mud. It was completely dry. That was really cool. I know, you kind of, I see the question, I go, yeah, how can that be? But that's pretty cool. But when they got on the other side of the Jordan River, what had changed? Do you know what changed? Now the people had a home. For 40 years they didn't have a home. And now God gave them a home. A place that they can call your own. Now I know some of you have moved in your life. And as kids, some of you had moved. And there's something about coming to a new home. Something special. It's a place that you can point to and say, that's where I live. That's where my mom and dad live. That's a place where I can go to that I know I'm loved and I'm accepted. And when people drive by, they say, hey, that's a Rodenberg's home. Pretty cool, eh? And you go, yeah. Well, now when people traveled through Israel, they would say, this is Israel's land. and this is Israel's God's land. So they were always God's people, but they get closer and closer in their relationship to God in all these changes through crossing the Red Sea and the Jordan River. So that's why rivers and water in the Bible are really important, because they remind us, as with baptism, that we belong to God. That's who we are. And that's really kind of a cool thing. So let's pray, and then we're going to have the Bible read. Lord, thank you. Thank you that whether we're slaves, whether we wander, or whether we're settled in a home, we always belong to you. So Lord, I pray that each of the children, that each of us here may never have feelings of doubt about who we are, about who you are. So Lord, may your Spirit always fill us with that peace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning we read from the Word, from Joshua. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things for you." Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all of Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests to carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the edge of the Jordan's rivers, go and stand in the river." Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Gershonites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go to the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand in a heap." So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan was at flood stage all during the harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarephath. While the water flowing down to the Sea of the Arida, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground, while all of Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground.
Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time of worship, a really cool day where we've been able to say thank you to those who've been elders and deacons and are now taking a step back, and to those who are stepping up and accepting the role of elder and deacon here in Bethel. Lord, may this time of worship where we've listened to your word, where we've offered prayers to you, where we've just reflected on who you are and who we are, may this soak deep inside of our hearts and souls and minds to shape us more and more into who you're calling us to be. Lord, I pray that the words which will be spoken now, may they be your words and not mine. Pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I remember as a young adult, I was 16, 17, 18. I know, we don't always call that young adults, but I left home early, so I guess I was considered a young adult. Anyway, I kind of was drifting through life. I didn't really worry about what lay ahead. You know, while friends were busy kind of figuring out if they're going to become doctors or lawyers or farmers or mechanics or whatever, I was just kind of going through, how am I going to get through the next day of school? I joined Air Cadets, which was probably a really good thing, and I joined Naval Reserve, which was a really good thing. They helped me kind of, get some discipline in my life so that I learned how to work hard, and I learned that from my parents and that, but I learned how to kind of organize myself and get a little bit serious about life, but I still kind of drifted through life. Job opportunity came along with the Naval Reserve. I could get to go to the Caribbean in the fall, and winter's coming, and I was going to go someplace warm, and I was in school, and school and winter's coming, or on a nice boat in the Caribbean. Can you guess which one I chose? See, I was just drifting. I was just kind of choosing things as I kind of went along. I remember people telling me, both in the church and at school, saying, you know what, you got to find yourself. You got to discover who you are. You got to discover your identity. And I always kind of thought that was kind of a strange thing to say. Find my identity? Discover who I am? Well, I am who I am. May not be anybody important or special or anything, but I am who I am. And my purpose, well, I'll kind of figure that out as time goes on. But becoming a pastor, I've had opportunities to sit with lots of people, and even quite a number of older people who are wrestling with those questions of, what's my purpose in life? What's my meaning? What's my identity? Who am I? And I always wondered, how do you wrestle with those questions? Especially if you're a follower of Jesus. See, our identity is that we're followers of Jesus. We are children of God. Now, our purpose and our meaning, while our meaning is still pretty clear as well, you know, God says, be a blessing as I've blessed you. That's that whole Abraham thing, and we'll get into that a bit. And our purpose, well, Jesus said, you know what, go make disciples. So we wrestle sometimes with a whole lot of stuff that the Bible doesn't really wrestle about, doesn't really kind of address. See, Joshua and the people of Israel, they're sitting right now on the eastern bank of the River Jordan. They can see the promised land, the land of milk and honey, just kind of sitting there waiting for them. Now, a tribe and a half of them had already settled on the eastern side, but the other 10 and a half tribes, they're just eager to get going. And they finally learn to trust God. They've been nomads. They've been wandering for 40 years in the desert. They've gone to this place and they camped there for a while. And then they've gone to this place and camped for a while. And then they've gone all the way over here and they camped for a while. But they never had a place to call home because they had messed up. When God had said the first time, cross that river and go take the promised land I'm giving to you, they said, oh man, those people are so big and powerful, there ain't no way we can beat them. And God said, you don't trust me. You're mine. That's your identity. That's who you are. You're mine. Trust me. And they were God's people, but they didn't trust them. So God said, okay, you're going to wander for 40 years, and they did. And they became tough. They became powerful. The nations around them all of a sudden took a look at these people wandering for 40 years in the wilderness, and they're going, hey, we don't want to mess with them. Because every time we mess with them, man, we get beat, and we get beat bad. There's something about that God that we just don't want to, we don't want to cross them. And now God says, okay, now you're ready. You've learned to trust me. You've learned to recognize that I'm protecting you. You're recognizing that you're my people. So now I'm ready to give you an address, a place to call home. And they're sitting there. And they're kind of going, when can we go? Now, if I was Joshua and I'm a military man, I'd be sitting there and I'd be making all these plans up and I'd be going, okay, you know what? There's going to be people on the other side that aren't going to want us there, so I'm going to get all my best warriors and I'm going to put them in the front. And I'm going to get my archers and I'm going to get my guys with the slingshots and everything else and I'm going to get them all on the side there and I'm going to have them shoot bows and arrows and rocks and stones and everything else to kind of clear the way and everything else. And then when the enemy is so afraid and they're kind of falling back, you know what? Then we'll start getting people across. But I'm going to always trust my warriors first. God says, I got a different way of doing it. God gives Joshua instructions on how to cross the river. And they're kind of all backwards to the way that we would think. God says, you know what? You're going to get your priests. You're going to get these Levite guys. And they're going to carry the cross. Oh, they're going to carry the cross. They're going to carry the ark. And they're going to lead the way. But first, you got to wash yourselves. You got to consecrate yourself. You got to get yourself ready. And I'm thinking, okay, so the priests are going first. Okay, so they're not warriors. They're not fighters. If it was today, they'd be the guys who are sitting behind the computers way too long, getting a bit of a belly. And they're not the guys you're going to trust to kind of conquer a land for you. But God says, no, I want those guys. I want them to go first. Remember that ark you built that you put in Moses' staff and you put in some manna and you put in the Ten Commandments? And it's got angels on them and you know that's where I meet you is on the ark? I want the priest to carry that first. And the priests, they're going to carry it, and then as soon as they step in the water, I'm going to make sure that you can cross on dry ground. Remember 40 years ago, the Red Sea? The same thing's going to happen now. And sure enough, the people get themselves all ready, they get themselves all consecrated, so that meant they would have spent time washing themselves, they would have got their clothes all ready, some of them would have had special clothes, and they would have put those on and everything else, they would have spent the night in prayer. Talked to a rabbi, he said, the fathers would have blessed their family, and the priests would have offered a blessing over the whole people. And then they're ready. They're ready to cross into the promised land. They're God's people, and he's going to lead them, give them a way to live that will help them flourish and grow as individuals and as a people and become God who God's created them to be. And they're going to know that because it's going to be God who leads the way, not the warriors, not the strong people. See, and as the people kind of cross through that river, they're going to pass right by that ark on dry ground, no mud. And as they pass by that ark, they're going to go, wow, this is all about God. We're not doing this. This is all about God. I can just imagine all the kids as they're going there. You know, if I was a kid, I would have been, how far away is that water? I wonder how high that water is going as it's kind of sitting there. It stops, so where is it piling up? You know, I would have been trying to kind of go upstream and say, hey, Mom and Dad, just keep going. I'll be back. Because I would want to see what God was doing. Because for me, that is like so amazing. And they even know where it happened. It happened in this town, just kind of upstream. And boy, I would have wanted to see that. Because then you know, wow, this is all about God. And that's what God wants them to know. That he's with them. That he's preparing the way. That he's protecting them. As Joshua says, you know what? Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you'll know that the living God is among you. And he'll certainly drive out before you all the Canaanites, Hittites, and all these other ites. See, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream but cut off and stand up in a heap. And I'm going, wow. Oh, man. There's all these priests. There's the ark. And then there's one man from each of the tribes to show that God's about all the people. That not just one tribe is special, but that he's there for all the people. And they walk by the ark and they go, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's all about you. As we're heading here, it doesn't matter what lies ahead. We know that you're with us. That we're not walking alone. We know that we don't have to be afraid. And they remember that they're going into the promised land to live out that promise that God had given Abraham all those years ago, saying, well, I'm going to give you this land. And you know what? I'm blessing you so that you will be a blessing to all the nations. They know they got a job ahead of them. They got to settle this land. They got to chase out all those people who in one place in Genesis, when the time is right, you know, when their evil has gotten as bad as it can be, then I'm going to drive them out and you get the land. But you're going to get the land so that you can be a blessing. So you can show the people of the world who I am. They can see that there's a better way of living. There's a way of living that honors God, but that honors each person as well. Where it's about blessings flowing in and through people, rather than pooling up inside, as we talked about last week. They know that they're God's people. And the other people in all the other nations will say, how can we be God's people too? That's why we're here. We're here so that we live in such a way that the people of Lacombe that bump into us and get to know us say, who are you? You can say, I'm a follower of Jesus. And in our lives and in how we live and in what we say and how we treat each other, how we honor everybody because everyone's created in the image of God and how we just let God's blessings flow in us and through us, they say, how can we be a follower of God too? But we need to hang on to the fact but that's who we are. We are God's children. Our identity is in God and Jesus, not in what we can do and who we make ourselves to be. You know what? Paul kind of uses the image of a storm at sea to kind of describe why it's important that we have our identity solid in Jesus. You know what? God gave himself apostles, prophets, evangelists. Christ himself gave us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to equip his people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. It's a way of saying that we know who we are, that we know we are in Christ. And say, you know what? So that we'll no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. That's why we installed elders and deacons, to guide us, to keep pointing us to Jesus, to remind us of who we are, to remind us of who Jesus is, who God is, so that we don't kind of get tossed and turned about by some of these really weird teachings that can be out there sometimes. You know, teachings that say, you know what, be the best that you can be. And I'm going, yeah, be the best that you can be. Remember, it comes through Jesus. But they're saying, no, look inside yourself. You can find healing in yourself. You can find meaning in yourself. You can find purpose in yourself. And you know what? When I look in myself, I see how often I mess up. I see how often I hurt others, how often I disappoint others. I see, you know, I do good things, but then I see I do things for selfish reasons, that you know what, I'm doing it so that ultimately it's good for me. It makes me feel good. So it all becomes about me. And when it becomes about me, I know that in the end, it's going to be about nothing. Because I know who I am. I know that I need more. I need an identity that doesn't come from what I do. Because at some point, there's going to come a time when I can't do anything anymore. If my identity is in my work, man, am I in trouble. If my identity is in my wife or in my kids, you know what? They're going to move away, the kids anyway. I hope Joyce stays. But at some point, you know, one of us is going to die. And then we're alone. So if I have my identity in just Joyce alone, that's not good. Or my kids. I need something solid, something firm, something I never have to doubt. Something I never have to say, I wonder. And that's what drew me to Jesus. I never had to wonder about who I was. I sometimes wonder about what he wanted me to do and who he wants me to be, but I never have the wonder about who I am at my core. You know, our identity never changes. We belong to Jesus because he's claimed us as his own. And our purpose is to be a blessing and reveal God to the world. And we do this by trusting God and who he's calling us to be as his people. That's one of the most important roles of being an elder and a deacon. It's to remind you of who you are in Jesus and to reflect with you on how God is working in your life right now and who God's calling you to be. Leaders in the church are equipped to lead us into a closer walk with Jesus and to help us lead others into a relationship with Jesus. Each change in Israel's situation drew them into a deeper relationship with Jesus, with God. And it also strengthened that relationship, made it stronger, made it deeper. As a slave, it doesn't take much to trust in a God that who seems to be far away. But all of a sudden, when he frees you and you see all the other people around you and all the things that are scary in the world, then you have to trust in him more. And then when you see that he can protect you and keep you safe, your faith goes deeper. But again, you still have trouble trusting because you've been a slave for so long. And it took them 40 years to deeply trust that no matter who goes up against them, God can protect them and guide them and keep them safe. And it's the same with us and in our circumstances in life. We can go through hard times, but in those hard times, we can become even stronger in our identity and our relationship with Jesus. It is through some of the hardest times in my life, losing the people who are dearest and deepest to me to realize how much I need Jesus, but also to realize that even through those times, I was given the strength to be there for the rest of my family, but also to answer those questions that people would say, how can you be at peace in your loss? And I could say, because I have Jesus. I get my strength from him. And I don't have to walk this alone. Casting Crowns has a song called Nobody. And they want their lives to live so that the world can see nobody but Jesus. They don't want the world to remember them. They don't want the world to see them. All they want is for the world to see Jesus. And as we get deeper in our relationship with Jesus, that's what happens. That's what God wanted for Israel, is that when they come into the promised land, that they create a society, they create a culture that is so focused on God, that is so focused on God's love for them and God's love for everyone, that they call on the richest to help the poorest, they call the strongest to help the weakest, they make sure that there's no injustice, no oppression, that everybody is able to work towards flourishing and becoming who God's created them to be. And that's what we do as a church. We create that culture, that society among each other so that the world can see that there's a different way. Jesus died, was resurrected from the grave so that you can grow your relationship with God. He washed all your sin away so that there's nothing separating you from the Father anymore. He gave you the gift of the Holy Spirit to guide you to the Father, to help you become who God's created you to be. And Jesus stands in the center of the river of our sin and washes us clean so that it all flows around us, because Jesus takes pure water, sanctified water, consecrated water that's cleansed by his blood and washes us clean, so that we can walk through on dry ground. We don't get dirty boots from the mud of sin. We walk through now on dry ground, and we are completely Jesus's, completely God's. We're called to repent and believe and give our lives over to Jesus, to gratefully offer our lives to God's work so that others can be one to Jesus. That's a call of obedience. You know, Joshua says, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. That's how you're going to know, you know, that the living God is among you. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord will go into the Jordan ahead of you. You know, we don't have the Ark anymore. I know you can watch Indiana Jones and everything else, but really, the Ark's disappeared. But God's given us something way better than the Ark. God's given us the Holy Spirit. We don't need tablets of stone that have Hebrew written in them, the Ten Commandments. We don't need a staff that can do all these cool things. We don't need bread that never goes moldy. Yeah, you see my cupboard sometimes. We have to take those last cuppy pieces out and they're growing. But that bread, that manna stay good like for thousands of years. We don't need any of that stuff to help us remember who God is. Because God himself and the Holy Spirit lives right in us. He keeps reminding us of who we are, of who you are. The Holy Spirit works in your hearts and in your lives and in your minds and says, you are God's. You are Jesus. Nobody can take you away. And he says, now go. Go in the strength of Jesus. Go in the strength of God. Go create a society how God wants you to live. And go and tell others and make disciples. Show them who God is. And help them to realize how much they need God too. Remind them that they are created in the image of God. And that God loved them so much, he sent Jesus so that they could be close to him. And we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for choosing us to be your children, to be your people. Now equip us. Help us to be your people. Amen. Father, thank you. We never have to be afraid. Even when we're telling others about who Jesus is, we never have to be afraid because you've kind of gone before us. Your Holy Spirit, just like the ark went into the river, your Holy Spirit goes before and prepares other people for your message from us. And Lord, help us to live together as a church family so that when others see us, they go, wow. What is it about them? Who is this God, this Jesus that they follow? So Lord, through our example, through our lives, through our words, through our invitation to join us in our journey following you, Lord, may many, many, many people from the nations come to know you and accept you as well. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Part of living as God calls us to live is by partnering together with other groups of people who are also striving to create a world that is blessed, that is just, that is focused on Jesus. And the CRC Youth Unlimited helps prepare our youth to live out their faith, to remind them of who they are so that they can lead their friends to Jesus, but they can also live into their identity as followers of Jesus as well. So let's pray for the offering. Lord, thank you. Thank you for those in leadership who have created this organization, the Youth Unlimited in the Christian Reformed Church of North America, of men and women who had this passion of mentoring youth into a deeper relationship with you, to help give them the skills and the gifts to be able to walk through life, helping others to know you, but also using the gifts that you've given them to create a world that reflects your kingdom. So Lord, we thank you for people with that vision, for people who love our youth so much. And Lord, we pray that the offerings we give this morning may help that ministry to help us to equip our youth and to bless our youth as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand for God's parting blessing.
One announcement.
Oh, yes, an announcement. It's summertime, so we don't always get stuff into the bulletin as quickly as we should. So, hey, new elders and deacons, you got your first meeting this Wednesday. We'll be meeting here in the fellowship hall. And we'll also have an opportunity to say thank you as fellow office bearers to those who are just stepping back for a moment. And we'll be doing leadership in different areas. So thanks for the heads up. So hear a biblical blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. Amen. May you go to love and serve the Lord.